This all sounds very much like a blending together of space-time and time-space, so we can function in both worlds at the same time. Boyce and Grenet give valuable context from other sources about the same thing on pages 444 to 445. In another passage, 1 Corinthians 7:29 through 31, Paul, believing that the appointed time has grown very short, declared that the form of this world is passing away. Some centuries later, Augustine saw this change of the world's form. The cosmos, too, is to pass out of time into eternity, and is to share, according to its capacity, in the eternity of the immutable truth. In the final consummation of all things, therefore, time will be no more. All will be eternal, God, man, the world. This teaching, found by Augustine in Paul, has been characterized as remarkable, but it is, in fact, what had been taught by Zoroaster and believed by his followers down the ages. On pages 365 to 366, we hear about how we will have a future body that is a return to perfection. Among Zoroaster's eschatological ideas was his teaching about the future body, that at the last day, the bones of the dead will be clothed again in flesh and reanimated by the soul, which has been existing apart in heaven, hell, or limbo, according to the individual judgment passed on it at death. According to him, each created thing, animate or inanimate, possesses its own indwelling force or spirit. And Ahura Mazda created these spirits first, and then clothed them in material forms. At the end of time, there will be a return to that perfection, with the blessed entering into the kingdom of Ahura Mazda in the ideal form of a just soul, clad in an unblemished body, made immortal and undecaying. Bear in mind, this is not talking about a single messianic figure. This is saying that the blessed will achieve this feat. This could be many different people. Boyce and Grenet carefully trace how the difficulties of Roman and Macedonian rule affected Zoroastrian prophecies as well, causing later writers to adopt much more of a doom and gloom approach, which then seeded into all other Western religions. Nonetheless, what we see in the oldest, least disturbed accounts is of a world that is transformed, in which time as we know it has come to an end, but not in a cataclysmic fashion. Evil is exposed and dwindles away, and humanity on earth appears to have transformed into an unblemished body, made immortal and undecaying. The Golden Race. Getting back to the intense, multilingual scholarship of Baldry on the Roman writings about the Golden Age, he concludes that the Roman poets mistranslated the words saecula and aetas as both meaning age, but in fact, saecula may mean either race or age, and aetas should be translated as race. Now it all comes together. Everyone thinks the classical prophecies are talking about a golden age, and that's definitely a part of it. But that's also a mistranslation. The Zoroastrian prophecy of immortality in an ideal and unblemished body made its way into Greek thought as a golden race. But this was then mistranslated by the Romans into the idea of a golden age, without necessarily describing what would happen to us once we get there. The last word in Novus Ordo Seclorum is derived from saecula as well. So this directly relates to the Sibylline prophecies, giving them even greater context, as well as the Great Seal of the United States. It is extremely important to mention that this golden race is not some weird and sick Hitlerian vision of a bunch of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Wunderkinder, or Nietzschean overmen that everyone else must die off in order to make room for. Just like the Casey readings said about the fifth root race, this golden race may well be everyone on Earth within a finite period of time, not just a particular nationality or skin color. As we just learned, Zoroaster called it the future body. Let's pick up with Baldry again to learn more about this so-called golden race. Gold played no part in the generally accepted picture of those whom Hesiod called the golden race. These Greek authors, like Hesiod, all refer to a golden race. It is only in Latin poetry that this is sometimes replaced by a golden age. Gold, far from having a place in the traditional picture, was seen as one of the causes of degeneration from that happy state. It was Roman writers who made the transition from a golden race to a golden age, and from them, the concept was handed down into more modern literature. This really blew my mind. The coming of the Age of Aquarius surrounding the year 2012 is the repetition of a cycle that has already occurred before. A cycle in which everyone on Earth apparently had mystical abilities much greater than what most of us now possess, leading them to have perpetual bounty and a life untroubled by strife or want, a paradise inhabited by the souls of the blessed. The pursuit of gold was seen as one of the causes of degeneration from that happy state. Unfortunately, our current scientific models are woefully insufficient to explain how something like this could be possible. But that doesn't mean it couldn't actually happen. Apotheosis in 2012. The Sibylline prophecies speak of a coming golden age in the Zoroastrian tradition, and clearly state that this will be a time where the Golden One shall arise again in the whole earth, meaning everyone who is here. Intriguingly, there are 13 courses on the pyramid in the Great Seal of the United States, and the year 1776 is inscribed at the bottom. During the time the Spanish conquerors came to Mesoamerica, the natives were using a 13-katan system to count time that they called Yucale-Katanab, which adds up to about 256 years. A katan is 7,200 days, or less than 20 years. The time of the founding of the United States occurred as the Maya calendar shifted to a new katan, and this may have been intentional. If you add 256 years to 1776, you get 2032. But if you count the first course of the pyramid on the seal as 1754 to 1776, then the top course of the pyramid would end in 2012, as Raymond Mardix originally suggested and other authors then co-opted. The eye would then appear in the final 20-year katan between 2012 and 2032, as the pineal gland opens. The phoenix symbolism, as we now know, is directly associated with the ability to travel through time-space, and it also refers to the transformation of the Earth. Furthermore, in the very top of the U.S. Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C., on the inside, there is a painting called Apotheosis of George Washington, where he is portrayed on a rainbow, indicating he has transformed himself into a divine state, which is also known as apotheosis. This image is surrounded by a ring of 72 five-pointed stars. William Henry, and Dr. Mark Gray point out that this adds up to a total of 360 star points. And if we multiply the number of star points by the number of stars, we get 25,920, again suggesting the American Founding Fathers were well aware of the precession and the prophecies of what it might do for humanity. Every other star in this ring has a pine cone pointing at it from the outside. The Capitol dome may also be intended to resemble the shape of the pineal gland, similar to the Masonic symbol of the beehive, where only the bees inside are aware of the inner activities of the lodge or hive. If you look farther down within the Capitol dome, you see a frieze along the inside wall that shows the moment Cortez conquered the Aztecs. The Aztec calendar, which ends in 2012, is clearly pictured behind Montezuma, and we also see the image of a serpent curled around a jar of fire, which may again symbolize the pineal gland. Regardless of the lies and corruption now so obviously displayed by various world governments, I do feel there is an underlying positive tradition they inherited. The meanings may have long since been lost or confused with other more recent teachings, but it does seem that America was founded to secretly help fulfill these ancient prophecies. In no way do I believe the elites are going to be able to create a new world order in which everyone will go along with some sort of world dictatorship. The very essence of the science and prophecies we've detailed in this book show that the change we are going through is woven directly into our DNA. No government can stage manage or control this process. The United States may have been intended to help pave the way for this transformation, such as by creating a system of laws that encourage freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and freedom from tyranny. But ultimately, it is the galaxy, the sun, and Earth itself that are directing this evolutionary process, as well as various relatives we appear to have. The Rainbow Body. Could humanity be prepared to move into a light body of some kind, as the mystical prophecies of Zoroaster, the Founding Fathers of America, and others seem to have suggested? William Henry and Dr. Mark Gray reveal the widespread prevalence of light body references in numerous ancient traditions, where the human body is transfigured into a new form. In Sufism, it is called the most sacred body and the supra-celestial body. Taoists call it the diamond body, and those who have attained it are called the immortals and the cloud walkers. Yogic schools and tantrics call it the divine body. In Kriya Yoga, it is called the body of bliss. In Vedanta, it is called the superconductive body. The ancient Egyptians called it the luminous body or being, Akh, or the Kharast. This conception evolved into Gnosticism, where it is called the radiant body. In the Mithraic liturgy, it was called the perfect body. In the Hermetic corpus, it is called the immortal body. In the alchemical tradition, the emerald tablet calls it the golden body.